I want to say, if you're a visitor here, we welcome you. And I understand, especially if you're not used to Pentecost, the first time could be a shocker. That's not always a bad thing. The first time I saw my wife, I was shocked. I thought, man, I've got to have her. Did I come off right? Anyway, we are in prophetic faith, looking, hopefully by this time next year, we'll already be into the building program with a new sanctuary, going to go off the front of this building. All of this is going to be divided up. We're going to have a big youth room on this side. We're going to have several classrooms over here, a classroom here. This platform will all be gone, and make some more permanent room. And we're trying to prepare ourselves for the harvest. Amen. It's a good time not to just be in church, but to know the Lord. And unless you are God, you don't know all of Him yet, and probably never will. Amen. I want to preach to you today on something that I felt led of the Lord to share with you. I want you to know that every week when I preach to you, whatever I bring to this pulpit is something God has spoken to me in prayer. Everything. I don't Google sermons. I don't go on sermon websites that sell other people's content. That's so carnal, it's ridiculous. And I know Pastor Klein is the same way. He seeks the Lord for everything that he preaches. It has to be from the Lord. Amen. And in Revelation chapter 13, it's going to take me some time to get through this today. So I want you to help me. I feel like this is very, very important, critically important. I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to pray. Carter's going to pray for us. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And when we're done, I want to preach to you today on this topic, led by the Spirit. Won't you pray for us? Yes, Jesus.
Jesus, I pray.
Glory.
Hear,
hallelujah.
Today, God,
Lord, let your will be done, O God. We magnify you, Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Let me explain to you where this came from. I've been pondering a lot lately about where we are in end time prophecy. And something dawned on me this week that we'll clarify throughout this text. The reason, the way that the Antichrist is going to get so much power and persuasive abilities is because much of the world will think that he is Christ. Now I'm going to prove it to you. The scripture in Revelation said they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. We're gonna go through all of that. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, who is able to make war with him? First, it's important that we understand this is meant to mirror how believers speak of God, who is like unto the Lord. So this Antichrist and his spirit is trying to portray himself in the same fashion as Jesus. And therefore, those that are and will be deceived will speak in the same manner that they spoke of Christ when he was on this earth. And it shows the Antichrist's counterfeit nature. Verse 7, it says, and it was given. Now, let me pause, because I know that there's a lot of people that think we're not going to be here for that. That's hogwash. You're going to be here. And verse 7 tells you you're going to be here. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. So he will have power over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and he will overcome the saints. Now, what does that mean? We'll talk about it. That doesn't mean destroy. It doesn't mean have victory over. And the Bible says in verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now, I don't believe that means every single being. And I'll explain some of that to you. Whose names are not written in the book of life. Of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So all those will worship him if their name is not written in the Lamb's book of life. And he goes on, he says, if any man has an ear, let him hear. Very important verse. If any man has an ear, well, we all have ears. So we know we're not talking of our carnal ears. We know that we are speaking of spiritual ears. In all of the letters that John the Revelator wrote to the churches in Revelation, many of them were ended with, let him who hath an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church. I've been telling our church that we are living in one of the most critical times in the history of the world. And because there's so much noise and so much distraction, and technology and social media has magnified and amplified that 1,000-fold, we're not hearing a whole lot at all that God is saying. That's why the Bible tells us the last days will be dangerous times. It's not dangerous because of the threats to the church. There is no threat to the church that's actually viable. It's dangerous because many will be deceived. I'll read it to you. So I will say this to you first. If you have an ear today, you need to hear what God is trying to say to the church. Number one, it says that they worshiped him. I was talking to my kids yesterday, and I told them worship is not always a boisterous, overt, in the manner that we think of worship. And worship is not always good. Worship isn't even always pure. There's a reason we have things called idolatry in the Bible. Idolatry is a form of worship. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're lifting your hands. It doesn't even mean that you're crying out, but sometimes the things you worship the most are the things you care for the most. Like, we live in a world where we worship our phones. Just drop it and tell me you don't worship it. Now tell me where your Bible's at. And so it's important that we understand when the Bible says that everyone will worship this beast, that you got to think outside of the box. You can't think, well, I won't bow down or lift my hands or magnify this thing. And so it reflects the world's admiration and their amazement and loyalty to this Antichrist, who will be an individual. And one of the things that concerns me, I have said for years upon years upon years, and I won't get into all of this today, but when the Bible says that those that would not take the mark of the beast would be beheaded, I've said for years and years and years, there's only one entity on earth that still beheads people, and that's Islam. And when you have got Islamic individuals of that faith that still believe in the Quran, I know you're not supposed to preach these things from the pulpit, right? Would rather people go to hell and die than and be politically correct than to be honest. Listen, I love you if you're Muslim, but I don't have to believe in Islamic faith. Islamic faith is of the devil, it's not of God. And when you can take people and decapitate them at will, and now when you've got people of that faith that are gaining high offices in this country, wait till they run for president. And wait till they win because they're charismatic. And wait till they start appointing judges to the benches who now interpret the law as they will. That is how we cruise into end time prophecy. And that's how he'll have the influence, unmatched influence. He'll be viewed as a savior or a hero because of however, wherever he steps in as this global peacemaker, if you please. He will rise to global prominence. And so I would say to you again today, let everyone that hath an ear hear. I told my family yesterday, we went out to breakfast, and I said, I believe the only way we survive these last days, because we just read to you that he was given power over the saints of God to make war with them, and he overcame them. I believe the only way we win is one way and one way alone. It's not because of your Bible. It's not because of your church. It's not because of your relationship. It's because the Spirit has to lead us. We must be Spirit-led now more than ever. And that's why we've got to let the Spirit move in our churches. That's why it cannot be a regulated service. It can't be a dead service. We need the life of the Holy Ghost moving amongst us at all times, speaking into our ears so we will hear what the Spirit says to the church. Verse 10, it goes on to say, I've got to move quick because I got a lot. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. And he that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Now the Bible tells us that this moment in the history of our world, the patience and the faith of the saints will be paramount. Then more than ever. Let me read that verse to you in the Amplified. It says, if anyone is destined for captivity, he will go into captivity. And who is destined for captivity? Those that don't have an ear. Those who are not Spirit-filled. You're destined for captivity, not because you're a bad person, but because you will not have the strength to overcome what is going to come upon this world. You say, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm not, but I hope it works. Because when I tell my kids, don't speed down the road or you could die, I hope it works. When I share stories with them that I have encountered, I hope it works. And here's the reality that's upon us today. This world is coming to a conclusion, and God is ready to rapture his church, and the only ones that are going to make it are those that know what the Spirit has to say in a day of confusion and deception. And so if you're destined for captivity, you'll go into captivity. If anyone kills with a sword, he must be killed with a sword. Here is the call for patience, endurance, and faithfulness of the saints, which is seen in the response of God's people to difficult times. When I read that, when the Amplified says, here's the patient endurance, I was reminded of two scriptures, Matthew 24 and 11. It says, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, because sin and iniquity and unrighteousness will continue to expand its base. Our love for the Lord, for truth, for righteousness, for the word will grow colder and colder. And then he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. There is some enduring that we have to do as saints of God. Everything's not going to always be easy. You got to understand there's a spiritual war that is raging in the unseen, and there is a war for souls before the Lord comes back for his church. And sometimes you're going to have to stand a little bit, but you're not going to be able to endure unless you are led of the Spirit. Because, and I'm going to give you all the answers you're going to need today. We're going to need the strength of God like never before. That shouldn't scare you. That should excite you. You should understand that, hey, I can't do it, but I know through him all things are possible, and I am going to hold on to him with everything that I've got. Mark chapter 13, verse 12, he recites this a little differently, and I'm not quite certain they're actually the same accounts. I'm almost convinced they're different accounts. He says, now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents. That's all pretty obvious today. And shall cause them to be put to death, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We don't have time to worry about what group likes us or doesn't like us. We don't have time to worry about how the world views us and what their opinion of us is. Hey, he says you're going to be hated by your own son, by your own brother. He said you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. All that matters to me is that he gives me the strength that I need to withstand in this evil day and lift my head up high and hold, square my shoulders back and proclaim the name of the Lord as my strong tower. And there's nothing that can have victory over the Lord. And so these things, when you read some of these scriptures, the scriptures that most people won't read because they're not popular. And when we're more interested in growing crowds and getting money from people than we are getting them to heaven, we don't read some of this stuff. So a lot of people don't even know what's in the Bible. These things are not hard. The things that I'm sharing with you so far, and there's a lot more, they're not hard as long as we're being led of the Spirit. I told my family, I said, now more than ever in these days, we've got to be led of the Spirit. Verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Let me explain. The first beast is the Antichrist. That is the political power, is what he represents. The second beast is the false prophet. He represents religious power. The first beast rises out of the sea, which symbolizes nations and political chaos. But the second beast, the Bible says, rises out of the earth, which often is interpreted as appearing in a more peaceful or religious manner. But both of these beasts, as the Bible calls them, have a very prominent role to play in the last days. The two horns represent two things, religious and moral authority. And so, watch this. Let me go back and read it for you again really quick. I can't find the verse. Anyway, it refers like a lamb specifically imitates Jesus. Everything about the Antichrist is going to present himself as something he is not. That is how people are going to wind up deceived. There's only one way to be able to discern truth from non-truth. There's only one way, because sometimes lies present themselves in such a way that they could convince anybody. In my time, in my professions, I have come into a lot of people who would lie so well that you would be convinced that they're telling the truth until you find out they're not. And so we must understand that this figurehead, this Antichrist, is going to present himself in a manner, I am convinced, that will deceive many, many, many people. And the only way we will be able to discern is we've got to be Spirit-led. And I'll get into some of that, but there's got to be something. That's why we can't be wrapped up in the carnality of this world. The Bible says he spoke like a dragon. His appearance is like a lamb, which represents religion, but he speaks like a dragon, which represents deception. Verse 12, and he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now watch. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth. So how can I make sure I'm not pulled into this and I'm not deceived? There is only one way. It's called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. The Bible refers to it both ways, and we're going to talk about that. Just hang on for a minute. Deceiveth all them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which we had power to do. God, help me to say this the right way. I am not on board with this whole miraculous movement. I believe we should have signs, miracles, and wonders, but I don't believe we build our churches off of that. That is not what the apostles did. The apostles, he said, I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. When you watch this. If we allow our churches to be built off of miracles, signs, and wonders, we give way for the Antichrist and the false prophet to deceive many because they're searching for the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, and they're not searching for Christ. I'm not speaking against those things at all. I'm not speaking against them, but what I am doing is we've got to make sure our focus must be on Jesus Christ, period. It must be on my relationship with him. Our focus must be on the glory of God. It must be on truth and righteousness and the pureness of the doctrine and the word of God. We should have miracles in our churches. We should have signs and wonders. Those are all biblical. I want to make sure you don't misinterpret me, but that cannot be our driving force. That cannot be. Do you know why? Because there's a lot of people in the Bible that got miracles and then never went to heaven. That's why. And so it says they had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should be both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And the main thing that I pondered is, God, how do we make sure we're not deceived during this hour? How do we make sure that we're not worshiping the wrong thing? How do we make sure that we're not pulled? God, help me. And I just felt the Lord say, this generation has got to be led of the Spirit. Why? Watch. This is what dawned on me. It dawned on me that the world will be looking for Jesus' return. But let me give you a statistic. In 2021, that was 4 years ago, if you haven't figured that out, Barna poll found that 50% of U.S. adults read their Bibles less than twice a year. So now watch, how do you know anything about him splitting the eastern sky if you don't read your Bible? And if you don't read your Bible, one day this Christ is going to show up. And you're going to say, oh, look, the Lord is here. Because you don't know the manner that the scripture says he'll return. And you're going to have this Antichrist that's going to present himself in a manner of something that he is not. And he is going to deceive many. When you've got 50%, and that was 4 years ago, of the population that don't read their Bible once or twice a year, you don't know what the word says. And you don't know what to look for and how to look for it. We live in dangerous times according to the scripture, but they don't have to be dangerous if we're led of the Spirit. They don't have to be dangerous if we know the word. Every single child of God should know what's in this book. We should know it from front to back. You might not remember it all, but God gave it to us. It's been passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's been preserved and it's been secured in its integrity, and we have it right there. All we've got to do is open it up so we're not deceived. And so this Antichrist is going to show up, and a lot of people are going to think he's Jesus because they don't know anything about his return. Many will be deceived because they're not familiar with the word and they do not have the Holy Ghost. So I want to talk to you just for a moment about apostolic identity and what it really is. It just simply means that we pride ourselves on being not exclusive. That's not what I'm saying at all. Spirit-led. Spirit-led. That's who we are. We don't just believe in Acts 2, but we live it. We believe in being Spirit-led. The Holy Ghost isn't an accessory. is the governor of our lives. He's the governor of our lives. If the Spirit filled you, then the Spirit wants to lead you. You can't just treat it like it's a second-rate rug on your front porch. You have got to pray through regularly, and you've got to learn to let the Holy Ghost be your guide, be your strength. Some of you get off of Facebook long enough to have a prayer life. Get off of Instagram long enough to call upon God. Let God speak more than you let videos speak into your life. Let God be more of a voice more than you let YouTube be a voice in your life. If we do not start to discipline ourselves, we will not be a people that is Spirit-led. And when this Antichrist shows up, he is going to deceive a whole lot of people. But if you've got the Holy Ghost stirring inside of you, you'll have warning bells that go off. There'll be something in you that says, that's not right. It's not good. It's not pure. It's not a holy. It's not of God. This is a spirit of deception. You want a reason to go to the altar? That's the reason. Tongues is the evidence of receiving the Spirit, but obedience is the evidence of being led by the Spirit. I'm not taking away the fruit of the Spirit, but obedience leads to fruit. The only way we will not be deceived is if we are led by the Spirit. And so the leading has to begin now if it has not already begun. It must become a part of our identity. And if we don't teach ourselves to trust God, to be Spirit-led, we will fall to the spirit of deception. I wouldn't want to be the one that waits for all that to play out. I wouldn't want to be the one to test the waters. I'm not interested in testing the waters. What I'm interested in doing is knowing more of Him, becoming more like Him, being filled more with more of Him, and making sure that at any given time, the Lord can speak to me at any moment of the hour or any moment of the day. So let me give you some scripture. Galatians 5 and 16. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. I'm going to explain that in just a moment. You cannot be living in your flesh and led of the Spirit. They don't coexist. Well, what's flesh look like? Well, I mean, we could take a lot of time and talk about it. I don't know that I really have the time. I mean, flesh is flesh. Sin is sin. Flesh looks like anger, malice, bitterness, hatred, rage, jealousy, lust, carnality, carnal ambitions, carnal desires, fornication, adultery. All of these things are flesh. You cannot be in the flesh and be in the Spirit at the same time. It doesn't work. They do not coexist. Paul is saying if the Holy Ghost is leading you, when he says if you're under the, if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law, he's saying if the Holy Ghost is leading you, you don't need the law to control you. Let me give you an example. If you're a teenager here, I'll give you a great example. If your parents are home and you act one way, but when they're gone, you act another way because they're gone, you need the law to lead you. And sometimes that law might come in many, many different ways. That law might come, well, I don't know, we live in 2025, I guess I can't say it from the pulpit. There's a word that's very foreign to our world. It used to be very prominent, it's called discipline. But when you act the same way when your parents are gone, than when they're home, you don't need the law to lead you. Now, that's just one small example. For the adults, I'll give you one too. If you got to drink in secret because you don't want no one to know, if you got to sin in secret, if you got to view in secret, then you need the law to guide you. But the Bible says if we're led by the Spirit, we don't need the law. Why? Because I've got the law living inside of me. And he tells me everything that's wrong and everything that's right. He teaches me to be a better husband and a better father. He teaches me to talk better and to walk better. He teaches me to act right. He teaches me to be more like a Christian. He teaches me to love more than I hate. He teaches me to be kind more than rude because I've got the Spirit leading me. Now, you can have the Spirit. Doesn't mean the Spirit's leading you. Sin dulls spiritual hearing. Distraction silences God's voice. Unsubmitted will blocks the direction of the Holy Ghost. Worldliness makes the Spirit's voice faint. And with that, I bring you to John 3:6. I'm trying to hurry. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. These words follow Jesus when he said, you must be born again. You must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. It doesn't matter if you like it. It doesn't change it. It doesn't matter if you agree. It doesn't change it. You must be born again, he said. And then he goes on to say, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So let me break that down for you. Anything that comes from flesh stays fleshly. Human birth only produces human nature. Human effort produces human results. Human righteousness is still as filthy rags, according to the word. The flesh cannot transform itself. The flesh cannot enter into the kingdom. And that means you cannot think your way into salvation. You cannot behave your way into holiness. And you cannot work your way into a new life in Christ Jesus. Flesh can only produce more flesh. That's why, to give you an example of that, when you get two people who are hot-headed and you get them together, and it goes nowhere, that's because it's not producing anything. Flesh only produces flesh. Your first birth makes you alive in the world, but still dead to God. That's why he said that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so when you have a spiritual birth, a birth of the Holy Ghost, you are now born again. And now God can do something spiritual in you. Now, it's very possible to be born again and be corrupted again. If we don't learn to let the Spirit lead us. And so we've got to teach ourselves. How does that play out, Pastor? Well, the only way I can tell you is, from my perspective, is God will put you in compromising situations. I've said this so much over the years, I have to repent to you for even saying it again. When you are constantly trying to fix what's broken, that's flesh. When we learn to be led of the Spirit, that means you sit still and you don't move until God moves first. You say, well, how can you say that? Very simply, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then he opens the way. Now, I told church last week in Niles, every church has a different way. Some churches go through the water. Some have to build a boat and go over the water. As long as God is in the process, that's all that matters. You can't build your own boat. Listen, I used to think I was hard-headed, and I was to some extent. I know what you're thinking. That's because you're more hard-headed than I am. But I've witnessed people over the years in the church, and I just think, God, I didn't know what to say. How many times you got to bounce your head off the wall before you realize God has to move the wall? How many times you got to fall on your face before you realize God needs to direct your steps? You see, sometimes we become so carnal in our walk with God that we forget what it's like to be led of the Spirit. And do you know why? Because we are trying to ram worldly ambitions down God's throat. And we're trying to make him walk where we want him to walk. But God will never walk where you want to walk. We walk where he wants to walk. When you learn to be led by the Spirit, you learn just to sit still and wait on God. You learn that God opens all doors. You learn that all things are in God's timing. You learn to trust God when you're in uncompromising or compromising situations. You learn to trust the leading of the Lord. God, I don't understand what I'm doing here in the belly of a well. I've often said, I guarantee you, when Jonah said, throw me overboard the ship, he thought he was going to die. And then when that fish swallowed him up, he thought, for sure, I'm done. But God was still in that. See, God wasn't in the ship. That's why there was a storm. Sometimes the storms only come because we're heading the wrong direction. I wish somebody would let the Holy Ghost be a witness to them for a minute. Now, there are things that we must go through. That's a fact. But some of the storms are they're man-made. And they do that now. They manipulate the weather to their liking because man has become like gods to themselves. And if we're going to make it, I don't mean to bore you, I'll move on. But if we're going to make it in these last hours, we must be led by the Spirit. And the Spirit sometimes will not let you go when you want to go. And it will make you go when you don't want to go. He will make you stop when you want to move. He'll take you left when you want to go right. He'll take you back when you want to go forward. Or take you forward when you want to go back. Why? Because his ways are higher than mine. I cannot discern the mind of God. So what do? I learn to be led by the Spirit. I learn to trust that gentle voice of God. There was an earthquake and he wasn't there. There was the winds and the rocks did rend and he wasn't there. But then he showed up in a small, still voice. That's what we lack in our world today. So to be born again means the Holy Ghost produces new creature. New nature. Spirit gives life that the flesh can never, ever give. The Spirit births spiritual desires, and the Spirit empowers spiritual obedience. That is why Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The only way for Christians to weather the storms of deception in the last days is if we are led of the Spirit. I'm going to run you through a few scriptures very quickly. You might not be able to keep up. And I'll try and bring this thing to a conclusion. Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. A true sign of spiritual sonship is when you're being led by the Spirit. I want to help a couple people really quick. Because some people think they are and they're not. Spiritual leading will never take you off on a solo path. It will never take you off to do that which you want to do, that which your flesh wants to do. It will never separate you from the body of Christ. That's not what spiritual leading does. Carnal leading does that. And the scripture says, Paul said in Romans, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16, 18, and 25. 16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. 18 says, if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Same things we already read in Revelations. 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us all walk in the Spirit. You ever notice that I've always been fascinated by that verse because it doesn't seem like it makes sense to the carnal mind. You mean they're separate? You mean you can be living in the Spirit and not walking in the Spirit? You can be walking in the Spirit and not living in the Spirit? Yeah, that's exactly what it means. You can act one way in church and another way at home. But if you're going to live in the Spirit, when you walk out these doors, walk in that Spirit as well. Let the Spirit go with you. Let the Spirit be in your home. There's one thing I can't stand is a man that calls his wife names. Can't stand it. You call your wife names, you're a coward. You heard it. I said it. And you're not being led by the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't call their wife names. The Spirit will teach you how to love your wife and be gentle to her. You don't know my wife. Hey, shut up. You married her. And you married him too. So be a big boy and be a big girl and ask God to teach you how to fix your marriage rather than getting on social media and bellyaching about your marriage. Am I okay? Can I preach the truth? We live in a world that wants to air out all their dirty laundry online. My God, have some decency. Some things are meant for the house. God, I could preach just for a second if I was allowed. Your body's not meant for the world. Your cleavage isn't meant for the world. Your buttocks isn't meant for the world. Your carnality is not meant for the world. It's meant for the home. Some things should stay in the house. Your problems aren't meant for the world. Stop. God. I don't mean to get on something here. I didn't plan on it. I'm talking to myself. I'm married if you haven't figured it out. I've got kids if you haven't figured it out. Now, I don't think my wife goes on Facebook because she doesn't really have an account yet. Not unless she's got some fake account. She goes on there talking about how much she can't stand men. I'm being honest. Listen, you're not going to make it in these last hours if you will not be led by the Spirit. Someone pull up the fruits of the Spirit for me back there, Brother Chris. While you're pulling up, let me read another one. John 16:13. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You won't be deceived or confused because the Spirit of truth is come because you are being led by the Spirit. Acts 8:26, talking of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, the Bible says, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near. The days of us just doing whatever we want has to come to an end. And you got to wait for the Holy Ghost to say to you, go there. Go here. He will. You know how to know? You know, I'll tell you how to know when the Lord is in it. He'd normally send you somewhere you don't want to go. Is that Bible? How about Abraham? How about Moses? How about Solomon? How about David? You want to live the way David lived? It took a lot to get his. How about Joseph? Why? Because the Lord knows where he needs us. He knows where we will align. He knows the demographics. God knows everything. And we are much safer in his hands. Acts 13:1, Paul and Barnabas, they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. I want to say this with all sincerity. We need to get back to a time where people were sent forth and they don't just go. I've always said, nowhere in the Bible do people go start ministries. That's a bunch of crock. Never happened. People were always sent by authority. There's got to be covering. And if you get outside of your covering, you'll be miserable for the rest of your life. You'll be seeking for the rest of your life, and you won't find because you weren't led by the Spirit. But when you're led by the Spirit, you can find a needle in the haystack. You can, because he'll lead you. Acts 10 and 19, Peter and Cornelius says the Spirit directs Peter to go without doubting. Ezekiel 36 and 26 to 27 says, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. There's a whole lot more. There's a lot more. Listen to me. I'm on your side. I'm finishing, but I'm on your side. We've got to be led of the Spirit. You know how you love your enemies, like the Bible says? Because you're led by the Spirit, not by flesh. You know how to forgive those who've spitefully used you, the way the Word says? Because you're being led by the Spirit. You know how to honor those that are over you in the Lord, like the Bible says, and obey them? Because you're led by the Spirit. You know how to love your wife as Christ loved the church? Because you're led by the Spirit. It's the only way we do it, folks. It's the only way we make it. And if you don't teach yourself now to be led by the Spirit, when this Antichrist steps on scene, and the Bible says that when he will overcome the saints, the only way we make it is you can be holed up in a cave somewhere. It can just be you and your family, the only people in your town that are still serving God. But you know what? There are no walls. There's no war. There's no Antichrist. There's nothing that can keep the Holy Ghost out. In Kyiv this week, if you watched it, most of the country of Ukraine was without power. Videos and pictures of Kyiv, total blackout. When I say Kyiv, some people call it Kiev. That's not how you pronounce it. Total blackout. You know what the church in Kyiv did? They're posting pictures. They're doing Bible studies with their cell phone lights. They said the power's out, but we're having Bible study. Why? Because the Spirit doesn't stop because the power goes off. God doesn't stop just because man-made things have failed us. And when we learn to be led of the Spirit, there's nothing that will stop your worship. There's nothing that will stop your praise. There's nothing that will stop your giving because you're led by the Spirit. Do me a favor and stand with me if you would. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands. You can come, you can stay. It doesn't matter to me. But lift your hands and say, God, I want you to teach me to be led more and more by the Spirit every day that I wake up, every day that I rise. Let this be my prayer, not what are you going to do for me today. Teach me to walk being led by the Spirit. Teach me to humble myself being led by the Spirit. Teach me to be so full of the Holy Ghost that I'm led by the Spirit. Teach me, God, to understand and to discern what is truly God and what is not. Come on, listen to me. Let the Spirit lead you right now. Let the Spirit lead your mouth. Let it lead your prayers. Let it lead your heart. Let the Spirit lead your mind. God, encapsulate me in your presence, I pray. God, wrap your arms around me. Let your glory, I pray, fill this temple, not the building, but me, my body, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Teach us now while it's easy to be led by the Spirit. And so when those dark days might come upon us, we'll say, when I fall, I shall arise. If God be for me, who can be against me? I know that I've got a strong tower to run into, and that's where the righteous are saved. Oh, somebody, call on Him.
That Jesus can't resolve. In time He'll get involved. Our God, He cares about us. And wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And wait on the Lord, and He'll
Come on, just wait for a few minutes. Let him do what he wants to do.
There's not Hallelujah. A night too dark.
Don't rush God.
A journey too long to embark. Jesus will see you through. In time he'll make you new. Cause our God, he cares about.
Come on, don't be led by the music. Be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Be led by the presence of God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. Glory, glory, glory.
Oh, he's ordering. He's ordering. He's ordering your steps. You got to wait. It's you got to wait. It's his ordering.
Come on, God wants you to be ready.
His ordering.
He wants you to be saved.
You're saved.
He wants you to be born again.
You
Hallelujah. And you'll make it. You'll be all right. Because the Spirit will give you strength. The Spirit
wait.
Will enable you. The Spirit will give you wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit. Hallelujah.
I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. Cause I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. Cause I'm not turning back now. Cause I'm not turning back now. I'm gonna wait. Cause I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. 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 Cause I'm not turning back down. 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 I'm gonna wait on you. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. 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 Cause I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. 'Cause I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now. I'm not turning back now.
I want you to do me a favor. Close your eyes. I want us to be led by the Spirit for a minute. If you have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to begin to pray right now in the Spirit. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Grab him by the hand and pray with him right now. Pray with him. This is what I feel in the Spirit that we should do right now. Hallelujah. Come on, pray for the person beside you. Pray with boldness. You don't have to be ashamed or intimidated. You don't have to be ashamed or intimidated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we need you in this place, oh God. We need your presence. We need your power, oh God, in this place. Come on, I feel it right now. I know you feel it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, let your glory fill this tabernacle today, oh God. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need your presence, oh God. We need your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Because you got to wait. Yes, he's ordering. He's ordering. No matter what you're going through right now, he's ordering. You've got to wait. It's your presence is heaven to me. It's your presence is heaven to me. Yes, your presence is heaven to me. Yes, there's nothing like your presence. Oh, there's nothing like your presence.
Your presence is heaven
to me. Oh, yes, your presence, your presence is heaven to me. Yes, your presence is heaven to me. And who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty and this world. Nothing in this world can satisfy. It's Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Sing your presence.
Your presence is heaven
to me. Your presence, oh,
your presence is heaven
to me. Treasure of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrongs, holder of my future days to come. Yes, your presence,
your presence is heaven
to me.
One more time before we go, can we lift our hands and say it? Your presence is heaven. Hallelujah. If it feels this good on earth, what do you think it feels like up in heaven? Oh, praise God for that promise. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that day. Jesus, hallelujah.
Glory. Oh, Jesus.
Show you something the Lord shared with me this morning. In this building, there's a lot of people from a lot of different places. Listen to this. God reminded me that He places people in many unorthodox ways We got people that are here because they kind of fell head over heels with somebody else. We got people that are here because they just drove by the church. We've got people that are here because they were invited. We got people that are here because they were made to come. If you were a kid. Watch. Saul was brought to the prophet because he was looking for livestock, not for the prophet. David was brought to the prophet because he was summoned when he was anointed. Elijah was brought to Elisha because of his persecution, because of Jezebel. It led to Elisha. The prophet introduced Esther to position her where God wanted her. Jesus came to Peter, and James and John were there working. Anybody here? Anybody here because someone came to your workplace and talked to you initially? Anybody? No one? Darn. Who raised your hand? You are April. Oh, wow, that's awesome. See? So that's what happens when we're led by the Spirit. God brings people from so many different avenues and paths. What's important is that we understand if it's led by the Spirit, it's sanctified by the Spirit. What does that mean? That means it's ordained of God. Sometimes if you go, you go out of His will because He brought it in the first place. God is so good. He's so good. If you want to stay and you want to continue to worship, Brother Drone, once you close us in prayer and they'll put something on in the back, you can stay and just meditate and pray as long as you want. Listen, there's no church Wednesday night, but we'll have fellowship here if you want to come. For those that want to come, we give people Wednesday off before Thanksgiving because there's a lot of preparation, a lot of family, all that good stuff. But if you want to come and hang out, just come hang out. We'll find something for you to do. Amen. Brother Drone, pray for us.
Let's pray, church. God, we're so thankful for the word that we heard today. And I pray every day when we wake up in the morning, that would be our first words. Lord, let me be led by the Spirit today. God, use me, Lord, to reach somebody, talk to somebody. Give me the words to say. Give me boldness, God, to teach your gospel in love and in truth. And live it, Lord. Walk by the Spirit as well. I pray, God, that you would give us strength as we go out of this church service today. God, that we don't leave it here, God, but we would take this presence home with us. God, as the holidays are coming up, I pray, God, that you would begin to open doors right now as we speak. Lord, to be able to talk to family members that haven't felt your love, like Brother Chris said, that haven't had an experience with you. And I pray, God, that you would use us this holiday season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.